I was asking the question earlier, would you feel comfortable coming downtown? Are you coming downtown? Are you avoiding downtown? And maybe you're neither avoiding or coming, nor coming downtown. As the case may be, you just work from home and it's easier to be there, and that's how things are right now. I'm downtown all the time. I work here in the downtown area, right along the river here in Columbus Drive, and I can tell you that there isn't that much activity. There isn't that much energy here, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. Envisioning, though, the next steps and what brings us out of this, that's what a task force for the city is being tasked with. That's their job to sort of figure out where do we go from here. And we'll talk about that in a second. 773, reluctant using CTA. Otherwise, I'd have no problem coming downtown if I felt safe being indoors anywhere. And then regarding the City Club is where Sam Skinner spoke. He's the former Secretary of Transportation. He is former White House Chief of Staff under H.W. Bush. And just so you know, you can catch his conversation at the City Club in its entirety at WGNradio.com, because all of those conversations are posted. And that's good to know. But let's talk to Sam himself here, because he's got a lot to talk to us about. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for checking in with us. How you doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good. It's a great day. I've been driving around a little bit. I see more traffic every day. Increasing, so people are moving around. That's a good sign. We still got a long ways to go, but it's good to see people on the road. I never thought I'd say that, but it's good to have people on the road.
It is. You know, it's almost like, yes, there are four people at the stop sign, and I don't mind waiting because it means good things for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It's like last we talked, it was sort of, you know, in the thick of it when we were still trying to just even make sense of what was happening and understand the virus a little more and just seeing, you know, business come to a screeching stop, foot traffic come to a screeching halt, and all that stuff that we've seen. And you know, it's interesting because at that time we talked about, okay, so we're known as a transportation hub, we're known as a meeting and convention hub, we're known as some of these things, and we built the city in recent years on that reputation. Hospitality and restaurants, I'd throw that in there. And that those things in this environment can't really thrive. So where do you go from here? I know these are the kinds of conversations you guys have been having.
Well, we're making progress. The task force report was very thorough and complete. A number of things are underway that we're doing to develop that and to get things. A number of companies are making investments in the city as we speak. So it's going to be a slow recovery process. It's not going to be lightning fast, but it's slowly. It's coming back, and we're pleased. I think that, as I said yesterday to the City Club, we're number safety is number one issue, both safety on transportation as far as the coronavirus and also, of course, as far as violence, gun violence and those things. And the mayor, as I said yesterday, the mayor's number one priority is to make sure everybody is safe and comfortable, and number two, that they know the steps are being taken to keep them safe. And all of that is very good news for the city, because it's something that's on everybody's mind. I heard you talk about riding on the CTA. I think the CTA and the RTA, Metra, and PACE are all making extra efforts to make it's safe and make it, they're cleaning the vehicles, they're distancing on the vehicles, and I feel very comfortable taking mass transportation, and they're very comfortable that the mayor and the Chicago Police Department have done a good job of making sure that, number one, chasing down those that were involved in the looting, the last two lootings, which was an organized criminal activity, and number two, making sure that the people know that law enforcement is on the streets every day. They've taken a lot of off their desk jobs and put them on the streets to make sure that people are safe.
You know, I saw that you got right in front of that question. You didn't wait for it to be asked at the City Club. You knew it would be, and that was kind of top of minds for certainly business owners in the downtown district, and we do rely upon those tax dollars and the folks there to stay there and continue to keep their businesses going there. And so you mentioned it is a top priority, and that doesn't mean that it's one for the other, that it's still security and safety and crime in the neighborhoods is also a priority. I think that there's sort of this idea of getting ahead of crime and being able to being able to slow these numbers and ultimately do much better in that way, in that regard. There's also the reputational part of that. When people see those images, and you've heard about this all over the world, what damage that does to Chicago's image.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We seem to be the favorite poster child for this, and frankly, a lot of other cities have got problems equal to ours or even worse than ours. So we have to be the focal point because we're Chicago and we're a city is known all over the world. So I think in that regard, it's important that we get our message out, and also more importantly, that we put the resources necessary to protect each and every one of our citizens. And more importantly, as importantly, the visitors who visit the city, whether it be for travel or business.
And when do you see that happening, Sam? When do you start seeing folks return to work downtown? And when do you start seeing folks decide to sort of, if they're regional or Nash come from other places across the country, when people start coming back and spending their dollars here?
Well, I think, first of all, I break it into two sectors. One is the business sector. I'm getting calls from a lot of people that they're making decisions at the top level to bring their people back. They don't think that operating from a distance works as well and is effective, and these companies are moving forward with taking the necessary steps to get as many people back as possible. I'm going to give a special shout-out to J.P. Morgan Chase and Jamie Dimon, of course, one of the top CEOs in the world, and he made it quite clear that to really be effective and to serve the customers, we've got to have some people working together and properly distanced, but working together face-to-face rather than on a Zoom call.
So he's making it the point be made and known that he thinks when you're in the office together, at least doing it safely, that there's a value to that, and you think that that'll eventually bring a return to the downtown district.
I absolutely do. I'm on a public board. I've been on a number of boards talking to CEOs, and I think most of them believe that when you have the distancing can work, testing can work, the buildings are safe, and getting people together is more productive than getting people on Zoom calls that they don't even know each other. How do you train people? How do you recruit people? How do you mentor people? That all comes from, in-premise counseling and working together. And I think more and more businesses want to do that.
Yeah, you've seen all the stories about New York and people writing it off as a city, and it's sort of COVID challenging the very idea of cities, you know, at this time when people don't want to be in crowded environments. And I've seen you push back pretty strongly about that to say that you do see folks returning to the cities and it may just look a little differently. Explain what your thoughts are about that, Sam.
Well, I think it's very simple that what's the most productive way and most effective way to serve your customers? And these businesses believe that you need to interface on a personal basis. And you can't do that as well with Zoom calls or online training. It can supplement this, but this mentoring, the person-to-person mentoring and person-to-person talking to customers and clients is very important. And I think a lot of businesses understand that. And I think a lot of people have become comfortable working out of the house, but that may not be working for their business. And it's a safe thing to do, but now's the time to kind of focus on returning to work and returning things to normal. I was interested in there's pockets of very interesting. These schools come back. A number of the schools that came back are doing testing, and they have very, very few positive tests. Most of the tests come back that there's no problem. So I think we're seeing schools are doing it. In some places they're not, but a lot of places they're not doing this because the students aren't following the rules of distancing and testing.
When you say schools, are you talking elementary level, high school level, or college level?
No, I'm not talking the college level where they're doing massive amount. But now a lot of schools have returned to campus and doing a massive amount of testing. And I'm getting anecdotal reports from those schools that the number of positive tests has really been relatively small, and most of these people have navigated it without going to the hospital. And that's because these schools, under the leadership of the governor and the mayor and others, have put testing protocols in place that makes sure that if somebody is sick, they don't come to work, they don't associate with other people, and keeping the other people away from those that are positive. And schools are mandating that, and students generally are following it. And I think when we get to back to, I think the big key, obviously, is getting back to schools in high school and grade school, and some of the schools are doing it. We've got to convince the teachers and others, parents and others, that it's safe with the proper testing protocols to do in school learning, because there's no substitution for in school learning, especially at that level.
Sam, can you stick around for just a second? I want to ask you, I want to go back to the sort of the idea of like the tarnished reputation downtown that you folks are addressing with the second round of looting and the violence and that kind of thing. Not all leaders see eye to eye on that whole thing. And I do want to play a little bit of an interview with an alderman we spoke with a couple weeks ago. Just get your reaction. I kind of want to understand and dig into that a little deeper. Sam Skinner is our guest. He's the former Secretary of Transportation, former Chief of Staff, White House Chief of Staff under H.W. Bush. And he's also leading this Economic Recovery Commission for Chicago. He's a Chicago area resident and has been for a long time. And so he's leading this commission, co-chair of this commission, to lead us forward from here. We'll talk to Sam more in just a minute here. Happy to be talking with Sam Skinner, former Secretary of Transportation. He's the lead or the co-chair of an economic recovery task force for the city. So they're looking forward to how do we get through this, and then what does the city look like beyond COVID? And one of the things in his City Club speech, he talked and addressed the folks at the City Club, and we do have that at WGNRadio.com if you want to check out the entirety of it. He talked about, he just got in front of that whole question before he was even asked about the second round of looting and the damage it did to Chicago's image and damage it did to Chicago's businesses. As you're trying to attract more businesses to come here, not less businesses to come here. I had a talk with Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa a couple weeks ago, not long after that looting occurred, the second round downtown, and we just simply disagreed about what we were seeing in the downtown area. Here's a little bit of that conversation, and then we'll go back to Sam Skinner. I want to see get his thoughts on this again here. Go ahead.
But I will say this. The amount of hysteria that I have heard coming, particularly from the right wing on this, is ludicrous. They would have you think that you can't walk down the street in Chicago. They would have you think that there are not people right now dining outdoors in downtown.
Hey, Alderman,
Chicago,
Alderman, stop for just a second.
Chicago obviously has issues like any other city.
Just a second.
But we're not
hey,
on
Alderman,
fire. The
Alderman, hang on. I am looking at Michigan Avenue from my window right now as we speak. The number of cars is baffling. There are very few cars. There's barely a person walking on Michigan Avenue.
We're in the middle of a pandemic. Lots of people that normally would have been downtown are working from home at this point of time.
Okay, I thought you just said that people are doing this.
Do you think that there are people that are avoiding downtown right now because they don't feel that it's safe?
I absolutely
do. That is
irrational.
That is totally unhinged. That's disconnected from reality.
We hear from our listeners all the time who say this, that they don't make their plans to come into the city right now.
They need to be reassured that they need to stop acting hysterical and they can go downtown.
So I don't know if you could hear all that, Sam. I know it sounds like you're driving, but basically the whole idea that people are avoiding downtown to the alderman seemed like that he didn't seem to think that was happening or that was an impression people had.
Well, I think, first of all, I would agree with the alderman in that people aren't coming because they don't feel it's safe to be out of their house and they want a total distance. So I think it's legitimate. I think there are a lot of things that have gone on. Our revenues are up in the city of Chicago with outside dining. There's a lot of people. I think there's a perception because of what happened on those two occasions that it's totally unsafe to be in the city of Chicago. And I think right now that's not the case. I think there's a heavy law enforcement presence across the city, not only in the downtown, but the south and the southwest side. I think that increased presence is helping it. I think the people that were involved in the looting, which was organized criminal activity, are being prosecuted and they're being chased out of the city of Chicago. And I would remind people that Chicago is getting a lot of publicity. Look what's happening in Portland. Look what's happening in Seattle. Look what's happening in New York. I mean, Portland and Seattle have been basically, their downtown has been taken over.
Yeah.
That's the case in Chicago. It's quiet right now, but I think it's very safe. There's a perception that it's not, and part of that is generated by the media, who highlights Chicago because I think, frankly, a lot of the cities are jealous of Chicago and what we offer. It's the number one city for tourism in the United States right now. It will be. It was before, and it will be again.
I believe that's true. I love this city, and I'm downtown all the time. I walk Michigan Avenue. I walk the streets, and I do feel safe. I just think that there has been this. It is impacting behaviors, what we've seen. And you're right. I think the national media tends to sort of stir it up a little bit. But locally here, I still think there is a bit of an issue with people deciding to choose to come downtown. Now, I'm hearing assurances now that we feel like this is under control. And that was the point of a big point in your speech.
Yeah. I agree with you too. There people are. They don't know fully what's going on. They're not downtown to see the increased presence. They're not aware of some of the activities of the Chicago Police Department and the mayor's office. I think if they were, they'd be more comfortable. I think the proof will be in the pudding, and we're still waiting to see. I'm worried that we're not actively and fully communicating, and I blame the media a little bit for that, what is going on. I'm not taking any particular media, but I guess I just challenge them to give us a true report of all the good things that have happened that the mayor's undertaken, as well as the Chicago Police Department, working very closely with federal law enforcement and law enforcement in the region. This is a bipartisan effort to keep this region safe, and the governor and the mayor are fully supportive of getting this message across, and more importantly, making sure they take all the steps that are necessary to keep this city safe. That's number one priority. If people don't feel safe, they're not going to travel. They're not going to leave their homes, and we don't want that. And we don't want them to believe that they can't.
Well, we appreciate the work you're doing, Sam. And honestly, it's no little plan, I would say, no small task to be doing what it is you're doing. And I wish you nothing but success. I love this city. I want it to thrive for years to come. And it takes big minds like yours to come up with some answers.
Well, we need cheerleaders like you for the city. You and I are cheerleaders. There's not a bigger cheerleader than the mayor. And by the way, she and I are co-chairs, but let's make it, this is the mayor's task force, and she's leading this effort. I'm glad to support her with a lot of people from the business community, the non-for-profit community, in the region. So, it's a big undertaking. It can be done. We've done it before. And we got to remember that people have a fond memory of Chicago who come here, and they want to come back. We just got to make sure they understand it is safe to come back, and make sure that those that don't make it safe are not in the city, but where they belong.
Yeah.
Which is in the jails and penitentiaries of this country.
I hear you. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for the time.
And I'm not talking about demonstrators, Anna. I'm not talking demonstrators. I'm talking about organized criminal activities. These gangs and these organized criminal activities that take advantage of honest demonstration to loot and then go fence the goods. These are a small portion of it, and those are the people that the justice system is going after.
We've heard about
that. Demonstrators are...
I agree. The difference is an important one. We've talked about that on the show. The folks that rented 12 U-Hauls before the night before the looting obviously didn't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they had a bigger plan to take cover within something else. And there are those people who are being sought out. And you're right. I hope there are consequences. Thank you, Sam, for the time. And I hope you'll check in with
you,
us again.
Nice to talk to you.
You too.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Hi to the family. Do we have a chance to get to one call here? Because the phone lines are, we've got a lot of folks to get to. Let's see if we can just get to Brian real quick. And then I just ask the rest of you, please hang on, because important conversation to have. Want to hear your thoughts. Brian, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yeah, no, this is just a quick comment. You know, I'm not this far right person or anything, but, you know, I just went onto the Tribune website, and 15 minutes ago there was a shot on Michigan Avenue at Ida B. Wells with a car driving down there. So, you know, I live in the city, but I don't want to go downtown when this stuff is happening. It's not just the looting. It's like all this crime and carjacking. And 15 minutes ago, there's this thing. You just go on the Tribune.
Yeah. I thank you, Brian, because you were just speaking to the realities, right? The realities of the thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Maybe you won't right now, and there are a lot of reasons for that. So there's an image problem, and there's a get the crime under control problem. Those are two separate things. Both.
Not just an image problem, there's a fact problem that this is happening.
Right. No, let me put that first. There's a fact problem, and then once you get it under control, and it feels as if hopefully we're moving in the right direction, then you have the image problem. But both of them need to be solved. Thank you, Brian. Stay on the phones here. We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We're going to get to the phones here, 312-981-7200. It's 209, it's Anna DeVlantis, and we were talking about a roadmap for recovery for the downtown area and really the entire city. Sam Skinner, the former Secretary of Transportation, former White House Chief of Staff, was with us, and he's the co-chair of that task force. He basically was laying out the plans at the City Club. Again, WGNRadio.com. You can hear that entire speech if you'd like. But one of the things he was laying out there is saying that, yes, we need help for our struggling businesses. And, yes, we also have to control the crime downtown. And he felt as if we were making great steps or but good movement in that direction. But then there's also this impression thing where people do not necessarily feel like they want to come downtown. A couple of texts here, then we'll get to the phones. 224. I was born and raised in Chicago. Now I'm in the burbs. I'd love to go to the museums, but there's no way I would go near downtown. 630, we're afraid to come downtown. We're shed and field members. We go to the theater or opera now and then. We like shopping downtown. We are suburbanites. 847, I won't go downtown until it feels safe. It's unpredictable. 708, a lot of these texts, people are absolutely avoiding downtown. I myself and my friends live in south suburbs. We'll not go there. With everything going on, I'm not talking about the pandemic. And 312, downtown's not safe, period. I won't go back there for a while. So this is the perception. Like, hey, wait, I wanted to get one more that was an all not a different sort of opinion here. 815, and I'm more afraid of the COVID. That's what's keeping me home. I live in a quote-unquote safe northwest suburb. I only go to the grocery stores. I think it's more the COVID that's keeping downtown empty. I grew up in Chicago. I love Chicago, and I can't wait to go back. Amen to that. Let's go to the phones. Julie, go ahead. You're on WGN. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I was listening to Sam, and I also heard the alderman.
Rosa.
And I in the suburbs, and I have four kids, and we have not gone to the city, and I have no plans on going to the city, and I love going to the city with them. And it just, you know, the media reports the stuff, but they certainly don't make it up about what's going on down there. So it isn't safe.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I love this city. I want it to, it's always great, and I want it to emerge from this even greater than it ever was. And I don't think on this show or really any of the shows I've heard on WGN Radio, we've tried to, you know, kind of exploit the crime or make it seem bigger than it is. I just think it's also kind of putting your head in the sand to not admit that that is impacting behaviors. And that was the point I was trying to make to Alderman Rosa. And it's obviously a point that's front and center for this task force because they see that as an issue. And folks like you are saying that is an issue for you. It is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julie. Let's hear from AJ. AJ, your thoughts on this issue. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Anna, and congratulations on the extra hour coming
up
on September 26th. We love your show here in Batavia. I just wanted to mention the first thing is Lori Lightfoot and the police chief are just absolutely in over their heads with the crime. It's just they are not able to tackle it. But the biggest issue that I wanted to talk about with that last texter from the 815 is we're in the middle of a pandemic, and until we have a national mask mandate and an administration that actually follows science that doesn't call it a flu or the sniffles, while privately, you know, in conversations on 60 Minutes, they're actually, you know, worried about it, nothing is going to happen. So Sam needs to understand that remote working isn't great. Remote schooling isn't great. It's not good for the kids. They're suffering. But until we get control of this horrible pandemic that has actually taken 200,000 lives, not 9,000 according to Donald Trump, nothing is going to happen. We need a new administration, and the only choice is Biden and Harris, and that is the only path moving forward, Anna.
Hey,
thank you very much.
AJ, let me ask you a question real quick. I don't want you to just go just like that. I want to ask you something.
Oh, yeah.
So we have local laws and local rules about mask wearing, and last I checked, it is mandatory, and you, when you're 6 feet, or you're supposed to wear a mask. And for the most part, I'll tell you, I see people adhering to that policy in Chicago, and I walk around downtown all the time. I'm in the stores. I feel that people largely are very respectful, and they're doing it. Is that not your experience?
Maybe 70% my experience. Thank you for asking that question. I was only trying to hang up so the other callers
in. And I want to get to them, but I just wanted to follow up.
But what I'm seeing out in Kane County, especially with restaurants and bars, you're seeing most of the businesses that you go to following and complying. But you see many and a couple in Elburn and many in Batavia and St. Charles that absolutely flaunt it. You bring the concern to the business owners. They don't believe it. They believe Donald Trump is, you know, tells them not to wear a mask. They put the community spread gets worse. Mm-hmm. And until there's a national mandate, like Biden is saying, and again, he might not be perfect, but anything is better than this president that is making every state, you know, go willy-nilly on this. And I do got to admit, J.B. Pritzker did a good job mandating masks, but until it's a law punishable, mm-hmm. nothing is going to happen, Anna. So I do believe in the city things are going a lot more compliant. I actually feel safer in the city. Chicago is the best city in the world,
Thank
and I'm
you.
So proud of it. But I feel your cheerleading is amazing. I feel the same way.
But love
Kane County, yeah, no, it's the best. It's the greatest city in the world. It's better than New York, L.A., but the biggest thing is combined.
Hey,
exactly.
AJ, I do have to get to another call, but I want.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate listening in Batavia. Liz, let's go ahead and hear from you here. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, Anna.
Of course.
I love the city, too. And the reason, I'm downtown at least once a week. In fact, I've been down Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I just came from Roosevelt Road because I was looking for something at Michael's. I'm not concerned about my well-being, you know, coming downtown. I didn't go anywhere for the first couple of months because of the virus. But once I decided, hey, and there's nothing in my neighborhood anymore. I live on the southeast side, and the Targets and all of the other, you know, Burlington and all of those things have shut down. And those are the shops that I usually go to, so I have to come downtown. And I've been up on Michigan Avenue. I love Michigan Avenue. I just cried because everything was boarded up, you know, but at least people are moving around. I think the majority of the people are not coming. It's not for fear. I think it's the fear of the virus more than it is for their safety.
Yeah, I think
that's just
thank you, Liz. I think it's a combo. I really do. And we're hearing from so many of you, I should say. And there is sort of a combination here of people saying, you know what, we're not doing it right now. We hear about these things that are happening there. We're just not. 312, I agree with you, Anna. They're putting their head in the sand, pretending like everything's fine. No reason to go downtown unless you have to. Lakefront's closed. There's no guarantee the restaurants and bars are open. There's no shows. It's just becoming a very unwelcoming area. That raises a good point, because even if you did feel safe coming down from a COVID and crime perspective, on top of that, there aren't as many things to do here. Like, we love Navy Pier in the summer. We went to Navy Pier this summer, and it wasn't the same Navy Pier. I don't know if anyone went there this summer, if you were one of those who walked along the boardwalk there, because the inside was closed and the Ferris wheel was shut down and the merry-go-round was shut down, and I took my 8-year-old there. She's like, what do we get to do? Like, what's going on? Can I go on? No, you can't go on. You just look at the Ferris wheel, because that's all we get to do. And so it's sort of, you know, it's different. It's not the same. Let's face it. That's an issue too. We'll continue to take your calls here, 312-981-7200. It's 630. The wife and I split time between suburbs and downtown. COVID's keeping us in the burbs more than crime. My bigger problem is the panhandlers. They're downright rude. You know, some of them take Venmo now. Just a fun fact for you. I have heard that that has happened in the downtown area, in case that's something you're interested in doing. 847, I grew up in Chicago, have through the years come into the city regularly, mostly for sporting events. No longer. It is unsafe due to crime, and I have no faith that Lightfoot and Fox will do anything to fix it. It has nothing to do with the pandemic. 262, living in Wisconsin and having your mayor threaten a ban on us is not endearing to you all, to your northern brethren. I heard they did. They put Wisconsin back on the sort of watch list. It's not on the list, but it's on the watch list. That's, you know, they do that Tuesday announcement. The health officials here in the city, Dr. Arwoody, said Utah, I think, was added today. Utah. And then,
yeah, just Utah.
Just Utah. Okay. I don't have any immediate plans to go to Utah, but I know a lot of folks have immediate plans to go to Wisconsin, and that is not on the list, but is their warning. They're warning the folks that,
even though it's not on the list, basically, Allison Arwoody said, I wouldn't go there.
Is that what she said? But she wouldn't hug anyone either. And I have hugged one or two people.
Well, here's the problem. Their positivity rate has been fluctuating between 13 and 17%. That's really high.
But is that mostly in the south and south, you know, southern?
Well, I'm
Wisconsin?
Sure you could break it down by yeah.
It's not where
region.
Mary goes. We know
no,
that.
It's not where I go.
It's only a separate part of this Wisconsin.
I
want
to go back. So people, mask it up.
Mask it up. Come on. Mary needs some to do things that are free. She works hard, Mary.
Yes.
Do it for Mary.
A lot of people have to
do
go
it
to
for
Wisconsin.
Mary.
I have to go see my mother-in-law, so people, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Wisconsin's a great state.
It's probably UW-Madison that's doing it.
Yeah. It's on you.
Yeah. Blame it on those college
I'm gonna blame
kids.
Them. That's what we do now. Phil, I want to hear from you here. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Thanks, Anna. Great show.
Thank you.
My point is, I recognize the fear that people have both for their security and for infection from the virus. But there are tens and hundreds of thousands of jobs people have that are dependent on people participating in the hospitality industry. And at some point, we need to be able to unring the bell. And people need to go back and patronize these places or this the job situation is just going to get worse. We need people to have a little bit of bravery at times and make sure they patronize places as best they can.
Thank you for that point, and it's an excellent one, Phil. We've heard from so many folks come on the show and restaurants I wouldn't have imagined. Gene and Giorgetti's comes to mind. They were on with me last week, and a restaurant as established as that with a loyal client base. It's just said the challenges of getting through this, it brings tears to their eyes, and they're just hopeful, like you saw Manny's Deli. They're just hopeful. Hey, guys, don't forget. And it's not just the big names. It's the mom and pops, and it's the stuff, the kinds of folks that we want to support their livelihoods as much as we can and keep them around for our city for many years to come. So thanks for that reminder, Phil. It is an important one, and it's something to think about. Don't forget. Henry, we got to hear from you. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hey, Anna,
hey.
How are you?
All right.
Definitely listening to, I actually listen to WGN Radio every day from my Alexa. I'm living in Columbus, Ohio, and work brought me out here. But listening to the news, I mean, it's really, I travel a lot back to Chicago. I still have a lot of family out there. I'm not planning on coming back because of everything that's going on from a crime perspective, everything that's going on from, it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse, and, you know, even this day and age, both of my daughters are both grown, have professional careers, and they're thinking of coming back to Chicago for work, and I always pray, hoping that they would find something to stay out of the city.
Hey, Henry, have you been to the city, or are you just kind of going from friends telling you what's going on
in
news reports?
No, I was born and raised. Literally, I've been out of Chicago for the last 5 years because of work, but... Work brought me out to Columbus, Ohio, and there's no intention personally to go back to Chicago. I do miss the city because of the food and because of the entertainment, and I feel sorry for all the restaurant workers that, you know, are not able to generate a revenue, but, you know, it's a personal call.
Thank you, Henry. Thanks for that call. I want to try to get Kathy in here quickly. Kathy, go ahead. I want to hear from you. And you're right. Let's remember the folks who rely on the hospitality industry for their livelihood. Kathy, go.
Yeah. My concern is not really COVID. I haven't been to downtown since March, and I'm somebody who comes down every week ordinarily, at least once a week. And the reason I moved to Riverside is so I could do that because I just hop on the train. One of the problems right now is that the train schedule is so bad. Like, I want to go to the Monet exhibit at the Art Institute and to plan around the train and then also get a time there, it's a little complicated. And I'm a little worried, like, what if some riot pops up and I can't get the train home? And yet to drive, I'm afraid where to park that I won't get hijacked.
Yeah. Kathy.
And I'm not afraid of kids. Before I wasn't.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've grown up in Chicago.
Thank you, Kathy. I gotta get to the news, but I wanted to get you in. And I hear you when you say you're not a fraidy cat and that you're changing your behaviors, because we're actually hearing that. People are actually saying that, even though our alderman didn't necessarily believe that that was happening. I do believe that it is happening.